Today's episode is sponsored by Dr. Bradley Nelson, creator of the Emotion Code and the Body Code. Thank you for supporting our show and this community. And if you're new here, follow and subscribe on Spotify, Apple, Megaphone, YouTube, so you never miss an episode. Now, welcome to The Advisor with Stacey Chalemi, where we turn big ideas into daily practices that actually change your life. Now, today we're exploring meditation through one of my favorite metaphors and the untrained puppy, how to teach it to sit, stay, and heal with humor and love. And now I'm very excited because our guest is author Phyllis Coletta, and her work blends personal stories, practical tools, and a lot from the heart. And you can find her at howtobeagooddog.com. And I'm so excited to have you on the show, Phyllis. Why don't you tell everybody a little about yourself and what you do?
Well, thanks, Stacey. And I'm so happy to be here. And I love what you do, like the practical aspect of helping people level up. I think that's just amazing. So I appreciate your work. And I tell people, like, I'm nobody, just like we're all kind of nobody. Like, I have a whole list of things I've done in my life. I was a lawyer and a teacher and a writer, and I've been a lot of things, but I'm just kind of a happy soul who found her way to peace and calm. And I wanted to make it easier for other people. So that's the genesis of the concept and the book I wrote, How to Be a Good Dog, based on my own life. Like I started life, born in Philly, Italian, lawyers. So that's like the trifecta of anger, So I had a I had a lot going on. So that's who I am. I'm just somebody, this is my little contribution to the world.
I love it. I love it. Now, when you say our minds are untrained puppies, what do you mean? And why does that framing help beginners relax into meditation?
Well, I mean, we all know what an untrained puppy does, right? They are disastrous. And you look at them, they're like newborns. You're like, how does something so small create such havoc, But that's what an untrained puppy, it's just a great metaphor for the mind because we don't even realize it. But that puppy, if untrained, is up there like just causing chaos and destruction and nonstop, like yapping and noise. And it's really crucial because I think we completely forget that the mind is the most important thing.
Yes.
If it's not trained, if it's in chaos, your outside is going to be in chaos. If
Yes.
your mind is cluttered, your life is going to be cluttered. It's
Yes.
and in order to achieve greatness anywhere or success, you have to have an uncluttered, well-trained mind. So the puppy training came to me. I can tell you how that happened, but it's just an easy metaphor because we were talking before the show about how, we love puppies. They are awful, right? And when they're untrained, they cause so much havoc. But I think it makes people, it's a much more approachable metaphor because the concept of meditation is so mysterious. And I will talk about that as well, right? I kind of wanted to just take away the veil, the mystery from meditation and put it out there that you just gotta sit, stay, leave it, and heal. So leave it too, but I couldn't fit that in the title. But that's an important part of the process as well.
And that's also a hard thing for many people to do. It's just to leave it,
Right.
It's, you know,
Right.
what type of advice do you have for people? Because what I've seen so many times is that people hold on to the past. They can't leave it. They can't let go.
Right.
And and that plays a big role in their whole entire life. Because if you can't leave it, if you can't just move on and focus on the now, the present, then that trauma is going to affect you your whole life, and you're never going to be able to reach your potential or do the things you want or feel good about yourself to the extent that you really are capable of feeling.
Yeah.
Is there, do you have any advice for that?
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of what the process of meditation is for. It's the hardest thing in the world because our minds are constantly thinking. It's not just one thing that we hold on to. Sometimes it's every slight, every bad word. I should have told this guy that. It's all that stuff that's very negative. So, yeah, I mean, the process of looking at really substantial hurt and trauma is one thing. Meditation does address that. And but it's the everyday things as well. Leave it. I'm happy you kind of started with that because, when your dog is about to eat poop, right? You're like, no, it's bad for you. leave it. Like we use that term with training dogs to keep them from harming themselves.
Right.
And holding on to your past is harming yourself. And
Exactly.
holding on to anything, you have to learn to leave it. And I do it personally, in the course of meditation. And even when I'm just walking around my day, if a thought comes in that's negative, I'm like, Phyllis, leave it. I'm
Yes.
interrupt it. I literally yell at myself a little bit as I would a dog. It's like, I don't want you in that pile of garbage. That's what,
Yeah.
once we can understand the harm done by, but half the time we don't even know what we're thinking, but it's very
Right.
real, right? So leave it is in the course of meditation. It's kind of like a process. Sit, stay, leave it, and then H-E-A-L, heal. And you talked about trauma like following us all our life. And in the book, I make this reference to healing is just like healing, H-E-E-L, with a dog,
Yeah.
right? Because
Right.
trauma doesn't really leave, we just transform it. It stays with us.
Exactly.
But when you watch a human being pulled all around by a dog who doesn't know how to heal, that's what our trauma and our past does to us. It pulls us all around.
Yes.
It makes our lives difficult because we
Yeah.
haven't trained it to just, you got to teach your trauma, your past, your pain to just walk nicely beside you. It doesn't go
Right.
away. I used to think that we healed everything and then life was, no, it's always there. But if you can walk beside you like an ally rather than an enemy, then you're in
Right.
shape. You got it, And that's the benefit of meditation. That's why, even though it's shrouded in so much mystery, I really want folks to give it a shot because it
Yeah.
makes such a big difference in your life. And I just want to tell you a quick story in terms of like success, in terms of work and wealth and that kind of thing. Somebody was once interviewing Bill Gates and Warren Buffett, and he asked them to write down on a separate piece of paper the one thing that contributed to their massive success. They're like the most successful people we know, and they both
Yeah.
wrote the same word down.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so they both flip over the page and they said the same thing, and the word was focus. Focus is the key to all of your success, whether it's in personal relationships or in work or wealth or whatever. If you're not focused, if your mind is a mess, if your puppy is pulling you all over and eating the shoes and pooping everywhere up there, you're not going to move forward, right?
Yeah.
That's when your mind is a mess, your life is a mess. So
Exactly.
it's so vital, it's so basic to everything you talk about, right? Trying to get people to move forward. I think the very first step is training your mind.
Oh, definitely. And what I've noticed with people too is when they can't focus and their mind is all over the place, you see it in their home. A lot of people that can't focus, they have stuff all over the place, or they become hoarders, or they have a messy desk and a messy room because that's the way their brain is going. Or if they try to write a letter, they're all over the place. They can't finish their sentences. And that has to do with being able to focus and not being able to focus. It affects every aspect of your life.
Yeah, it really does. And we can learn to focus. We can control it. But like, just look at the world in general. There's so much chaos right now. That's because
Yeah.
we really haven't attended to our minds. So like, I
Right.
tell my friends when they get disgruntled or worried or whatever about the world, I'm like, just train yourself. Start with
Exactly.
you. Like, start there. And you're not going to add to the chaos. You know what I mean?
Right.
Because it will be reflected in your living room, in your neighborhood, in your world, in your workplace, the chaos that everybody brings, it's a mess. And like, imagine if we were good dogs. Imagine if we were
Yes.
a good dog, right? So, yeah, it's really seminal to everything we do.
It is. And what are the most common puppy behaviors, wandering, chewing, or worries, chasing thoughts? And how do we respond without scolding?
Oh, that's such a good question. Because, this the last thing we want to do is scold ourselves. I feel like having tried to meditate since my early 40s, right, which was a while ago, I always felt less than, like I couldn't do it. Like nobody was scolding me, but it just seemed like the meditation thing was so ominous and had so many
Yes.
rules and regs, right? So when we train a puppy, you start with sit, you start with the simplest, do that with yourself as well. But
Yes.
that's all I would say is just start with a very simple thing like sitting still. It's really
Yes.
hard for us. We're
It
so
is.
into the movement, the busyness, the devices, the whole thing, right? But just
Yes.
learning to sit. And you don't scold yourself. We don't even usually scold puppies. Like I looked into a lot of Cesar Millan, like props to the dog whisperer, right? He helped me write my
Yeah.
book, essentially his stuff. But it's more about connection and reward. That's how you train a puppy, right? They love
Yes.
you. Like you were telling me, your Shih Tzus just want to please you, right? They're your mom. They just want. That's what dogs want. That's why we love them, because they kind of revere us as their people. So you have to learn to do that for yourself. Like you have to have a connection to yourself, that your true self. And
Right.
the reward, ultimately, I promise, is a peaceful life. Like who doesn't
Yes.
want that? Can you imagine? So if you
Oh,
just like a
yeah.
biscuit for a dog, right? You keep your eye on the reward of peace of mind and a peaceful life and less stress and less chaos. So we don't
Right.
to scold ourselves or berate ourselves. Other people are more than happy to do that all the time, right? For us, but don't do it
Exactly.
to ourselves, you know. Just take it as you would with a puppy. Like the analogies are so crazy. It's so on point, right? If we
Yes.
get the puppy science, canine science, and how to train your mind.
I love it. I love it. Now, humor is a big part of your teaching. How does laughing at chaos make pleasing and practice easier?
You know, Stacy, I have been funny since the day I was born. I don't know why. I think it's because I grew up in Philly, where they're hilarious. We're hilarious people, right? And Italians are very loud and very funny. So it was always a part of the culture that I grew up in. And what I have found is that when you can laugh at something, it opens you up.
Yes.
It opens you up. That's why comedians are so effective, because they say things that we're kind of scared to look at, and yet we can do it if they make us laugh. So
Yeah.
in this, like opening up to something that you're scared of, for instance, like I was really scared to meditate because I was like, uh-oh, what's up there that I'm going to have to look at, like I don't think I want to do this.
Yeah.
Once you get the joke, and here's the joke, we're listening to a voice that is like fake news.
Yeah.
It's meaningless, but it's
Yeah.
constant chatter. So it's kind
Yeah.
of funny when you stop. Once you realize, like when you meditate, you're just trying to sort of create this alpha dog that's
Yeah.
very quiet and, strong. And then there's the chihuahua up front, like, da, 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 da. And when you realize, you're like, I've been listening to this all my life. It is, it's funny. It is almost funny. So,
is.
yeah, so there's, and I am just unashamed. I mean, there's nothing for me to be ashamed of. I've done the best I could all my life, right? Like,
Exactly.
but I just pack the book with stories about all my screw ups and the things, that I missed along the way, and
Yeah.
the silly preconceptions I had about, like, for instance, meditation, that, the people who meditate are too, like, they're quiet and they're weird, and I don't want to be like that. And,
Right.
so when you learn to step back and look at that stuff, it's funny,
Yeah.
and it gets easier. So.
It does. And not to give up, I think too, because for me, when I first started meditation, I decided to take some meditation classes. I'll learn from an expert. And I went in there and I'm doing the meditation, and all of a sudden then everyone is doing their little prayer and they're getting ready to leave. And I'm like, wait a second, I just started feeling relaxed. And I'm like, where's everybody going? It took me the entire class just to get to a state where I was starting to get relaxed, and I was like, where are they going? But as I practiced more and more and more, it became easier and easier to the point where I was able to get myself in a level of calmness right away. But that took a while. So I
Right.
think too is like when we talk about meditation, for people who don't know how to meditate or people who are just starting and their mind is all over the place and they're just, they're always thinking, give it time because it's going to take a while to learn how to do it.
It really is. And frankly, I don't recommend, even for beginners, guided meditation or groups or anything, because this
Yeah.
is really solo work. Probably as you learned from that experience. Listen, I walked into rooms where like all these serious people are looking all holy, and I'm like, I'm a loud, unholy girl from Philly. Like, what am I doing here? But I knew I had to do something because the wheels were coming off the bus in my life, right? I had to do something. So that's what I was either, I tell people it was either booze or Buddhism. So I chose meditation because I'm a lightweight. I can't really drink that much. But, I still want it to be fun. But it's like a pretense has almost built up in the culture about who's good enough to meditate. Like, everybody can meditate, and you don't need to, it's not a bunch of rules. Just start with you. So you
I
don't
like that.
listen to, like you said, you went into list experts and you saw all these people, and it was a little intimidating. And it's just, it's not, I mean, it's simple, but not easy. And it does take time, like you said, and a little bit of discipline. And those are things that many people will just say, oh, I don't have any time, and I'm not disciplined. But really, if you really want to improve every aspect of your life, meditation is free. And once you get the hang of it, it's a game changer, right?
And I don't like one. I don't want to hear the excuse, I don't have time, because we all can make the time. That's just an excuse. That's just an exit excuse to get us, a reason why we don't want to do it, and
Oh,
whether it's
absolutely.
fear or whatever the reason may be. But that's, if you really want to do something, you will find the time. If someone says, I'm having an ice cream party and we're going to have booze there, all right, I'm in, and you make the time to get there, and so.
And you think about all the time you just spend scrolling on Instagram. Like, you have
Oh my
time
gosh.
to, and that's how, like parents, right? They'll say, I need a break. They put their kids in front of their devices. And what do they do? They go on their devices. Like, why are you scrolling? Like, you could actually be training your mind. I'm all for putting the kids in front of the TV if you need to meditate. You know what I mean? Like, get them on their devices because they're going to bother you. And it is hard, for a 35-year-old mom of two kids with a job to find quiet and peace. You absolutely, we hide behind busyness in this culture. We're trying to avoid something. So we just cram our lives with busyness because when we're not busy, we feel scared, anxious, not useful, whatever it is. It's crazy.
100%. It is. It really is. Now, what's one moment from your own life where your puppy mind took over, and how did you bring it back to your love and self again?
Oh, that's such a good question because I'm telling you, and I've been meditating now for 15 years, but the little puppy always, I'm not fully trained. Like, like kids, you still have flaws. But I would have to say, like, as recently as, I don't know, yesterday, traffic, I really can lose. I mean, it's a very basic thing, but we do it every day. And I live near the beach at the Jersey Shore. So in the summer, it's a nightmare. And I get very angry, and it's only traffic, so I will do, I will react like I used to react all the time. I was always angry and reactive and, just aggressive. So when I go back to that was my untrained puppy mind. I will just take a deep breath right behind the wheel. Hey, she's just trying to get somewhere. She doesn't know what street she's on. You've been in that position, Phyllis. Turn on the radio, take a break, a deep breath. And I call this the power of the PAWS, the pause, right? So you just need to breathe for a second. And then the puppy will, it will calm down. Once you have learned that you're the alpha, the wisdom, the wise, quiet you is the one you want to be with, not the noisy, untrained, crazy you. There really are two minds. We are of two minds. And you just got to get to know the wisdom mind rather than the puppy mind. So,
That's so true. That's a great answer. Now, let's break it down. Sit. What does the basic sit look like? Posture, breath, and a 60 to 90 second micro practice for total beginners.
Well, you know what? Here's the thing. Just sit. Like, there's so many rules and regs. And again, it's the Philly version, right? Just friggin' sit. Like, you don't need all of the rules and the stuff that the kind of the spiritual glitterati have made us believe that we need to listen to them and sit that they sit with these mudras and mantras. You don't just, I think it's good to sit on the floor if you can, because it just feels like preschool story time. Like it's comfortable
Yeah.
to sit on the floor, in the Buddhist perspective that, you're connected to the earth. But if you can't sit on the floor, just sit on the chair with your feet on the floor. Like there's no,
Exactly.
I mean, there are people who will benefit from all the rules and regs and they like to go to the monastery and do the thing with the robes and all, but most people don't, in my
Right.
opinion. There's a whole demographic of people who are like, not doing that.
Yeah.
So just there's no rule that you have to sit a certain way. So
Exactly.
just find, you find a place in the house or wherever where
Yes.
I like to sit on a little cushion or pillow because it's easier on my butt and my hips to do that. And I cross my legs and I take a deep breath. That's it. We're done. We're
Yeah.
good. We're sitting. That's
I
all
love it.
there is to it. Yep.
People don't realize, but meditation could be anything. You could take your shoes off, go in the backyard, walk on your grass, and that could be a form of meditation for you. Listen to the wind. Go in when it's raining, open the windows up a little and just listen to the raindrops fall down to the ground. There's so many ways, and no one ever said that things have to be done a specific way, and there was no, rules. And if they were rules, who made those rules? And why are they rules, So, it's just what one person said, and it passed down from tradition to tradition. And just like telephone, I always say, how do we know what's true and what's not true? Because when we were little kids, we used to play telephone. We'd whisper in someone's ear, and by the time you got to the last person, it was always screwed up, whatever the person said in the other person's ear. So it's really, you can't go by what everybody says or society says or what we've created. It's really what works for you and what brings joy and happiness and actually gets you to that level, that actually makes you feel good and makes you feel better as a person.
Well, and two, it's been commodified. Like everything, especially in the US, has been monetized, right? So if people
Yeah.
can make you feel like you can't do it without me, then there's
Yeah.
going to be a fee involved. Then you have to do it my way. Where, it is, I think, I agree in terms of the mindfulness of almost anywhere you are, you can do that. It just is a good practice to sit still, to be still,
Yes.
whatever it is, So
I agree.
when you sit and you just stay, and I always do it in front of an open window so I can feel the wind or whatever, hear the
Yeah.
trees, So just it's a matter of what I call in the book, you got to build your crate. You know how some dogs really love their crates when they're
Yeah.
trained? They hang out in their crates, right? You
Yeah.
got to build a crate to make your practice sustainable, which means
Right.
like a certain time of day and a certain way and place. That's all. It doesn't, that you create for yourself a place
Exactly.
and time where you will feel quiet, unbothered. You tell your people to leave me alone. Everybody else, put the kids in front of their devices, whatever. Turn off
Yep.
the phone and just sit. It's
Right.
crazy that we find that difficult, but we do.
We do. In this generation with all electronics, it's become very difficult. It definitely has become very difficult. Now, with stay, when the mind bolts, what are your favorite gentle leashes? Breathe in, count in a mantra, or hands on your heart? Like, what's your favorite to help you stay and just calm down and relax?
Well, staying is the hardest, I think. Like you learned in that meditation session, right? It took you a while the first time, right? You were sitting, but you really weren't staying. You know how dogs like you teach them to sit and their butts are like, I gotta go, get me up, get me out of here. Like that's what people do. The hardest thing in the world is to stay. So yeah, I mean, a deep breath is just a wonderful way in through your nose, out through your mouth. But also the concept of like it's in dog training, they call it return. When your dog runs away, it's got to come back to you. And you practice that in meditation. Meditation is really the art of letting things come in one side and out the other, like in one ear and out, just in and out. Don't try to stop thinking. Don't try to do anything, But I think stay is probably the hardest, certainly for me. Like I have so much energy and I always want to move and run. That was the most difficult. Now I look forward to it. But so staying, you just kind of initially have to talk yourself into it. Like with the reward system, I know I want to do this. I want to keep trying. If you have to use a timer and see if you can stay for a minute and then 2 minutes. That's how we train dogs, right? Incrementally. You don't expect them to do things immediately and perfectly. So don't expect that of yourself as well. And know that there's a reward. But yeah, stay is a tough one.
Yeah, no, it is a tough one. It is a tough one. I did get myself to that point where I could just let it go one ear and then out the other, but that took practice. And
It
then
takes a long time, yeah. And
it's a
then
long
what?
time.
What
It
were you gonna
will. Oh, I was gonna say that, like, people come up to me and they're like, "How do you do that?" Because, something that would normally upset somebody, I just let it go one ear, out
Yeah.
the other, and
Yeah.
I just disregard it and let it fly away.
Yeah.
And, people like, well, I admire that, but because it's hard to get to that point.
But it does take time.
It
So it,
does.
I'm trying to give folks a way to build a sustainable practice. Like I know
Right.
a lot of people are like, oh, I tried meditation, I can't do it. I tried it, I can't, I tried it, I can't. Yes, you can. Just like you can train a puppy. And that doesn't happen
Exactly.
overnight. And like you were
Nope.
talking about your dogs, like the training continues into doggy adulthood too, when you can. Well, that's not the ideal time, right? Just like as we get older,
Exactly.
it's harder to train us, the same thing. But I mean, there's no particular, oh, it'll take a month or 3 months or 3 years. I mean, I've been meditating 15 years and I'm not like always peaceful,
Yeah.
but I laugh a lot and I'm a very peaceful person. I'm no longer screaming at everybody all the time, which is
Right.
just ask my kids, when they were teenagers, that's all I did. So would have
Yeah.
been a better parent to teenagers if I had had, if my mind was a little more under control and disciplined. So it's just a matter of staying at it
Yeah.
for as long, and just promising I'm going to commit to sit because it rhymes.
Yes.
You can remember that. Just make the commitment. It's for yourself. And I tell
Yeah.
folks, if you can do 5 minutes in the morning and 5 minutes at night, golden.
Right.
Just that's all. Just start there. 5 minutes is a long time to sit quietly,
Oh yeah. Yeah.
right?
Yes, definitely. But if
Start
we
slowly. Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. Exactly. Now, heal, yeah, and HEEL. How do we bring kindness through emotions, grief, anxiety, self-judgment, without suffering from them and letting them get us down?
Oh, that's such a great question. Wow. But it's kind of related to the previous question.
Yeah.
And really, what meditation is about is learning to manage your emotions, to
Right.
regulate your emotions. And the most
Yeah.
prominent emotion for me when I started to sit was fear. Oh, what's
Yeah.
going to happen? Whether all my childhood, whatever, you're scared. Fear,
Yeah.
such a big
Yeah.
one, because that drives so many things. And again, just like we were talking about in one ear, out the other, the idea is to just let it go, just let it move. Don't cling to it. Oh, I'm afraid,
Exactly.
I'm afraid, I'm afraid. Don't cling to it. And like you said before, like we're outside, use your senses. Okay, touch something, feel something, listen to something, breathe in. We use our body to get the emotion takes a back seat and we're grounded in the present minute moment.
Yes.
And that really is the way it works too. I mean, and healing with an A comes as a result of sitting and staying and leave it, right?
Right.
Learn those three things consistently. You're going to heal organically. It's going to
Yeah.
happen. You're not like I still get angry, but it's only for a couple 30 seconds or it doesn't last long. It's not like you'll
Exactly.
never feel fear or anything. You feel it, but you let it go. So
Yeah.
it's just a matter. I mean, dogs don't hold grudges. Dogs don't go in the corner and be like, I'm going to get her later. Like they don't do that stuff. And
No.
our minds don't have to do it either. It's our
Yeah.
choice to just not hold on to it. Feel it and then let it go.
Yes,
I
that's
know
great
it's
advice.
easier said than done. I know. So.
With practice, it takes time, and psychologically too. Like I was thinking when you were saying that, when I had to go for surgery, I had a lot of discomfort in my arm. So I bought a fuzzy blanket because someone had told me about this, and I would wrap the fuzzy blanket. It was really soft around my arm at night. And psychologically, I didn't focus on the discomfort or the pain. I focused on the fuzziness and the softness, and that took my mind
Right.
off of the pain.
Right.
And so,
That's great. Anytime we can use our five senses, I mean, therapists will tell you this if you're having a panic attack, right? You use those, five senses and do one of each, do something for each of them, and then.
right.
And then eventually, like I had a brain bleed back in October of 23, just spontaneously for no reason.
Wow.
24 hours later, I'm in an MRI at 3 o'clock in the morning in a strange hospital alone. And listening to Motown because it's Philly. They're like, "What do you want to listen to?" It's like Motown. So they put me in the machine, and I'm like, I wasn't even upset. I was, and I thought, "Oh, this is why I meditate." You know, meditation is like going to the gym. It's like your crisis muscles are being built because, listen, the going to hit the fan in everybody's life, right? But if you have trained your mind, you don't let those emotions, because you could be really afraid having a brain bleed. I was afraid for a couple of seconds. And, you know, when the guy told me my brain was bleeding, I was like, uh-oh, I got cancer again, you know. But I was like, no, I don't know what it is. Like, I am used to it now. I am in charge of my mind the way I think. And therefore, my emotions are under control because it's the mind that activates the emotions, right? So if you can control your mind, your emotions are not going to drag you all over the place like a like an untrained dog. So
That's so true. That is so true. I love that. I love that. So when it, what's a 2 minute reset listeners can do anywhere, like the car, the kitchen, in between Zooms, when the puppy is climbing the curtains, like what could we do, that would help us reset ourselves?
I think there are three very simple things that you can do. If you can, get up and shake. You move your body just a little bit in place. Do a little Tai Chi, shake your hands like this. Because then, you know, I tell a story in a book about when I worked on ranches in Colorado. I worked with cowboys and horses. And, you know, if a horse didn't want to do something, it would just stay still, wouldn't move. It was mired in like fear. A cowboy would turn it around, take it by the lead, and turn him around three times because the body moves, it breaks the mind's hold on things. Okay, so some kind of body movement. If you want to sing or turn on a little music and do a little dance, make a little love, get down tonight. No, you might not have time for all that, but like, hearkening back to your senses, hearing and feeling and touching and smelling, or even take a little bite of something that's good for you. But the breathing is always like deep breaths, as everybody must know now in the popular culture. You don't need all the stuff everybody is selling for everything. You just need to breathe deeply and often and well. Learn how to breathe, because a deep breath in through your nose and then out through your mouth is activates your parasympathetic nervous system. It calms you down like that. So any combination or all three, if you're between meetings, you know, get up, shake your booty a little bit, take a couple deep breaths, laugh at something, listen to something, and then another deep breath when you sit back down and do the next task, you know. So
I love that. I love that. Now, tell us a funny or a surprising story where your mind did the exact opposite what you told it, and why did you learn from that experience?
that still happens all the time. You're
It happens to everybody.
I can't even almost think of something specific. You know, my mind is on a better track now than it was. But like, when I was raising three boys as a single mom at the Jersey Shore of all things, can you imagine? I mean, you know, my mom, I was determined not to yell all the time, and of course, I did. Right. So ask my boys. They used to call me Hurricane Phyllis. Like, you know, I would do that and then I would feel bad and guilty, you know, about doing that. So when my mind does something like in traffic or whatever it is where I don't want it to do what it's doing, I just forgive, I take a deep breath and I forgive myself. The whole idea is to try again, you know, just like you know, you don't stop breathing until you die, right? You get to keep breathing. You get to try again. Just try again. Do it again, Phyllis. You can do it. You can do it. So what you don't do is berate yourself about whatever it was that the mind did that you didn't want, you know, whatever I said that was stupid. Although I say a lot, a fewer stupid things than I used to say. So that's good, right? But I still
That's
say
good. You're on
stuff.
the
Right? See? Like, it's just progress, not perfection. We just want to get a little
Exactly.
bit better. And if you learn to love yourself, like we were talking about before the show, like that's a game changer because then you don't berate yourself. You do something, you react in a way that you didn't want to. Maybe it's embarrassing or whatever. And you just are like, okay, I'll get that next time. because there's going
Right.
to be next time. So that's kind
Exactly.
of all there is to it. Just love yourself.
I love it. I love it. And that's a big important part that a lot of people don't do is they don't love themselves. They hold on and they hold on to the things in life that are pulling them down, and they don't love themselves. And either it's because they're perfectionists, or because they feel they're at fault, or because sometimes people in trauma, like if you come from a dysfunctional family and someone keeps saying you're this, you're this, you're this,
Yeah.
you grow up and you think you're that, and then you grow up not loving yourself, not thinking you're good enough or worthy. And that holds you back too. When so sometimes if you feel like that inside, maybe it's time to take a step back and do some meditation, do some rechange your mindset. And if you can't do it by yourself, maybe reach out to someone that could help you. And but keep the meditation and into it, because for me, meditation was a humongous, I think, part of my life that really helped me get through the toughest times in my life.
Yeah. And I mean, like I said, one of the reasons, there were two reasons I didn't really want to engage in meditation. Number one, they didn't look, those people didn't look fun. And I was afraid I was going to be holy and I wasn't going to be fun anymore. Well, that didn't happen. So that's good. But the second thing is, I was afraid of the things that would make me feel ashamed because shame just burns in your body, right? And
Yes.
that's where a lot of the childhood messages come in. We're taught
Yeah.
to sort of be ashamed. You did wrong. You did. And but those are the parental or whoever the voices are that told us that. The shame
Yeah.
is the byproduct, and it's shame, like Brené Brown talks about this all the time. Shame is really hard to untangle. But if you
It
sit
is.
on that freaking cushion and you feel the shame, you got to feel it to heal it. And
Yes.
you got to name it to tame it. So the
I
hard
like that.
part about the meditation is just sit there and let it happen. And the
Yeah.
shame will eventually dissipate. It feels like a rock, but it eventually turns to sand. With
It
enough
does.
time on the pillow, on the cushion, just breathing, learning how to let things in and out
Yeah.
organically, that you're not going to be so hard on yourself. And when you feel ashamed, you're going to say, oh, wait a minute, that's not my alpha dog. That's my
Right.
untrained yippie dog. I'm not going to
Yeah.
believe that. So it is just part of the process. But yeah, shame, I think, is what a lot of people feel these days. And
Yeah.
that really leads to a lot of self-hatred. So, but meditation can help that.
Oh, it definitely can. It definitely can. Now, if someone says, I can't meditate, my mind won't stop, what's your most loving response? Because we talked about this earlier. So, what would you say to someone if they came up to you and and they say, I can't do it, or you're at a party and people are talking about it and no, I can't do it. I can't do it.
Well, that actually is how I came upon this method, right? I was teaching in Seattle in 2018, kids in recovery from drug and alcohol addiction. So they're filled with all these complex
Oh,
emotions.
yeah.
Minds never stop. A teenager's mind, right?
Oh,
So,
yeah.
I mean, that's when I somehow said to one of them, like, hey, your mind is just, it's just a puppy. You have to train it. And then we sort of built the model out, and I had them naming their breeds. Like, you could say to the guy at the party, don't worry, it's just your untrained doggy mind. Like, what breed
Yeah.
are you? And when people tell you, oh, wait, my mind is a German Shepherd, you already think like, oh, it's a little aggression maybe in there or something. You know what I mean? Like,
Yeah.
you just help them get friendly with their minds. You can't train something if you're afraid of it.
Right.
So if people say they can't meditate, I just kind of gently introduce this concept that don't believe what's out there in the pop culture about how hard it is and how what a good person you have to be. You don't,
Right.
right? So
Exactly.
just kind of demystify it.
I like that. I like that. Now, what do you say to high achievers who want results fast? How do we measure progress without turning meditation into a competition?
Oh
Oh
my gosh, we turn everything into a competition, don't we?
my God. Yeah.
Everything. So, and unfortunately, meditation too has been taught and used for like at like Google, so the employees will be better and more productive, and that's just not helpful. That's not real meditation, nor is it
Yeah.
they training soldiers to be able to kill better with more focus. Like, so meditation isn't a place where you have to achieve. So to high achievers, I would say, this is one, see that little pillow? That's one place you don't need to achieve. So take
Yeah.
a rest, breathe, Go sit there. You don't need to prove anything to anybody. But that's also why I don't think we should be doing it in groups right away, because we're always
Right.
looking at the other guy. There is competition in those meditation rooms. I got news for you. I've been in them,
Yeah.
and nobody says a
Yeah.
word. But you know you're being checked out, and others are checking. You know, it's just like what we do. So that's why if you're alone, even though you're a type A high achiever, I'm going to be the best meditator. No, you don't have to. You don't have to do
Right.
it here. This is the one little circumference in the whole world. You just sit your ass down and you don't need to do anything but breathe. And
Right.
just see if you could do that. Just breaking it down again, I guess, you know?
That's so true. That's so true. Now, give us a 7-day starter plan, like 3 to 5 minutes a day, simple prompts, tiny treat rewards, like to reinforce consistency.
I love that. I would say think about first what you're create, like where and when you want to try this. Do you have a quiet space in your house? How will you
Right.
get all of the humans and the dogs away from you, etc.? So the space
Yeah.
and the place. And then I would say, honestly, the first couple days, if you can sit in the morning for 2 minutes, and I do set a timer still. I sit, but I'm at 20 minutes
Right.
morning and night. I do. I put my phone on airplane mode, but I set the timer. So, and some there were days at the beginning where I would just be sitting there waiting for that timer, you know, but it would
Yeah.
help to stay. The timer did. So put the timer on a minute and try it and see how it feels. And then just watch and listen. That's the key, is not just to stay there, but to just to. The circus is going to start right away. Am I right? Like you've
Yeah.
done it, I'm sure. Like as soon as you sit down, like it's just watch it and listen to
Yeah.
it for a minute. And that's all. Just do it a minute or two in the morning, a minute, maybe if you can, a minute or two in the evening, like bookends to your day. If you can do that for 7 days, you might even want to increase after the first week. Okay, I'm going to try 5 minutes this
Yeah.
morning. And just, but the habit is what it's about. You know how it is. You got to establish the habit.
You
And
do.
psychologists say, right, it takes 21 days. So do
Yes.
it for 21 days and see. By then, it's going to be like brushing your teeth.
Right.
And that's what you really got to break it down. So it's just something you build into your day and you don't not do it. And you
Exactly.
start small, but you're going to want to do more because it feels so darn good after a while.
Exactly. If you can get a cup of tea or coffee in the morning, you can put meditation in your schedule right before and just, you
Exactly.
know,
A
and just
minute. Yeah.
relax.
Yep.
It's all
Whatever,
you
whenever
need.
it's right for you, but no distractions. That's the key. No
Yes.
distractions. And all you're doing is sitting and just put the
Exactly.
timer on, airplane mode, timer, and breathe. See what happens. Start
I
small, though.
love that. I
Yeah.
love that. Now, for parents or caregivers, how can you make this playful with kids or bring a partner along without teaching them?
Oh, gosh. I'll tell you what, kids love this. Kids, especially teenagers, I was a high school teacher too after I was a lawyer. So they love it. They crave the idea of doing nothing. So I, you know, it's not a, with grown-ups, you may need to coax, right? Partners,
Right.
you know, men, women, older people, whatever. There might be a little, but I think it's if you can impart this skill to your children, you are doing them the best favor in the world. It's part of the best parenting, but they will want it. Like my students, my teenagers used to be, Miss Coletta, can we meditate for a minute before class? You know? And I would say, sure. And I'd ring a little bell and they just sat there. Like teenagers. They love it because nobody tells them. They like to do nothing, but they're always trying to do it while somebody's trying to teach them or yell at them or tell them what to do. You take
Yeah.
all that off the table and just breathe and do it with them if they'll let you. Teenagers don't really want to be in the same room with you. So start when they're little. The little kids also love it. My grandkids meditate. Like they love it. So they
Yeah.
get to it right away. So I would say just introduce it to kids is not the problem. Kids think it's cool. I don't know what to tell you about grown-ups. Like I wouldn't drag anybody around to try to make it. Don't bring your husband to try to force him to meditate. If he wants to, that's great. But what we want to do when we find peace and happiness, we want to share it with the people we love. Oh, do this and you'll feel better. But it
Yeah,
has to be their choice.
it does.
You can't force
That's so
anybody
true.
to do that, you know. But this kind of little puppy way makes it a little more accessible for everybody. Like,
Yeah.
because it's a metaphor that everybody can relate to, you know.
Right.
Come on, I just want your puppy. Just teach that puppy to sit down. That's all. And you
I
make
love it.
it as light touch as possible, is what I'd say.
I love this. I love it a lot.
Yeah.
Now, where should people begin with your work? Any resources or workshops to stay in touch?
Just my website is the place to start. I can't believe I got that URL. When I got how to be a good dog, I was like, how could nobody want this URL? Like, it's really. And the book is on the website. It's really short. Like, it's only 200 pages because who has time, right?
Right.
And then if you fill out the contact form, you'll get a free sample, like a free chapter to start reading right
All
away.
right.
Yeah. So, and I mean, I don't yet, I'm not doing workshops. I'm not trying to monetize anything but just the sale of the book right now. Like, I'm not trying to create an empire because then I'll be
Right.
just like everybody else who's trying to create empires
Yeah.
around something that is just so basic and helpful to everybody. So I would just say start at howtobeagooddog.com, contact me through the site or just buy the book
I
and
love
take a stab at it. See, it's funny. So people will, I mean, I think
enjoy
that's
it.
what engages people more. Yeah. No
I thought it was
Sanskrit.
great. I loved
Oh,
it.
good. Oh, good. I'm glad. Appreciate that.
If you had to take today's conversation and you wanted to emphasize on some important factors, what are some of the things that you want listeners to remember as they close this podcast episode today?
Okay, I would tell y'all, don't buy into the complexity of this. It's not complex. And people are trying to sell water down by the river. You don't need all that stuff. It's
Yeah.
not complicated. Follow the basic rules of puppy training and self-love. That's the most, do not berate yourself through this process.
Right.
And try to make it a habit because we don't have a lot of discipline in our culture. Because these tools that have been created, these devices are deliberately addictive.
Yes.
So we don't have a lot of control over our brains. The amygdala loves those social media sites, right? So
Yeah.
it's going to be hard to kind of break away from that habit. So that's all I would say. It's not that difficult. Don't buy the cultural BS around how hard and how the hand gestures and the chanting. You don't need all that stuff. And just
Right.
give it a go. It's going to make your life better.
I love it. This has been amazing. I thank you
Fun.
so much.
I'll talk
Yeah.
to you anytime, Stacy. You're fun. We'll do it again sometime. Thank
I
you,
would
Sam.
love to do it again. Yes. Thank you so much. You've been wonderful and your advice is wonderful. And I love how you make everything so simple. And it's just, it's not complex. It's brief, blunt, to the point, and it gets right to the solution. And I love that. I love that
I can
because
tell that's the way you operate because that's kind of the way your podcast is as well. So it's good stuff. Keeps people engaged.
thank you so much.
You're
And thank you
welcome.
for coming on the show. You've been wonderful and I appreciate you and everything
Thanks,
you do.
Steve. I appreciate you too. Thank you.
You have a great day.
You too. Bye.
Bye bye.